I'd ask that you turn to that great passage we call the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28. And we read there, beginning with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." 10 disciples to be baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I can't help but walk up here and be reminded of the first baptism we had here at Cornerstone in the building. We had baptized always in the swimming pools of different members. And in 1983, we had this tank made, and I still remember the excitement that Harold Barrington and I had. This is 38 years ago, so I was a little stronger then. And the two of us moved it in by ourselves. We were so excited about it. And we had 12 baptized that Sunday morning. Among them was our oldest son and our daughter. Those 12, as we have prayed for them through the years, and as others have been baptized through the years, there is this putting on of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Galatians 3:27 speaks of baptism as clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at this passage, I would ask you that question before we begin with the questions for the 10 disciples. By what authority do we baptize? It is not by our authority. It's not by the authority of Cornerstone. It's by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. All authority has been given to him, and we have that promise that he is with us this day. He is with us always, and there is that presence of the Lord in a special way this day. I have three questions for those who are the 10 disciples to be baptized. And the first one is that, very simply put, is should you be baptized? And if you look at the passage of Scripture, verse 19, it says, go make disciples, then baptizing them. And so those who are disciples should be baptized. And yet there's something about asking that question, what is or who is a disciple? And it's not just someone like we have Simon, you know, in Acts chapter 8, who says he believes and he goes through baptism, and yet we find out he was still in the gall or the captivity of sin. There's something here that's amazing. This very word, disciple, has to do with one who is, yes, a follower of Christ, but it's one who is a lover, one who has come to love in that deep way that's beyond what is humanly possible for us. We read from Luke 14, and I would ask you to turn there so you see it with your own eyes. It's rather shocking words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 14, these words are very strong words. Beginning with verse 25, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." You almost want to go back and could we retranslate this? And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, it's true that we can dull it down a little bit. That is, we go back and we find that the Lord Jehovah knew that, yes, he saw that Leah was hated, and yet we find that in the very next verse in Genesis 29, it says, Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. So there was a sense in which Leah was loved less, and yet there was a sense in which it was as hatred. So we dull it down a bit, and yet there is still something there beyond our ability. The 10, I ask you the question, can you love the Lord and, yes, even hate your own self in comparison? Is there that real, deep, genuine love for the Lord that's part of who you are? It's so great that when we read of God's love, we read of that new commandment that we celebrate here at Cornerstone. Jesus says in John 13:34, I give you this new command, love one another as, or kathos, even as, just as I have loved you. Now that's beyond all of our abilities. That's beyond my ability to love as God has loved us. We are to love one another. How is that possible beyond the ability of the 10? Yes. Beyond our ability? Yes. And yet there's something amazing here. We do love him because he first loved us. There's something God has done in us that's beyond our ability, beyond our power. He has put within us, he's poured out by his Holy Spirit, his love into our hearts. There is something beyond our workings. Turn with me to those famous words of John chapter 3 that you know so well, when Jesus says you must be born again, or you must be born from above, John 3:3, or verse 7 again, that new birth. But then read also with me John 1:12. There it speaks of to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. This love that we have in our hearts is something that is miraculous, supernatural, if you will. It's beyond any ability that anyone would ever have to love as God would love. It takes the new birth. That if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. There is this wondrous work of God. The verse right after 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all this is from God. Do you love him? Is he the one that has captured your heart and you want to follow him always? Then you should be baptized into the name. The second question is such a question of such great importance, and it's a very simple one. To whom do you belong? If you look at the outline on the back of your bulletin and with that question, and it's for those 10 disciples asking the question, you're going to be immersed, baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This amazing moment, immersed into him, that name of God. We speak of that name with a holy awe because the scriptures have his name as reverence. We sometimes speak of it with that Hebrew pronunciation of Yahweh. Older translations had it as Jehovah, but it is the true and living name of the personal one true God, Jehovah Yahweh the Lord himself. So when we come to that, we realize that we belong to him. We're immersed into him with baptism. Now, it's something almost like you can go up into your cabinet, and if you take off one of those nice cups and look on the bottom, it'll say, made in China, won't it? You know, it's background, the nice one. Or we think here, maybe if it's the best car, it's going to be stamped somewhere, made in the USA, you know. But we are those who have been stamped, made by God. It's something beyond man's manufacturing abilities. It's the work of God. And so when we come to this, we need to realize we belong to him. He's paid for us in full, stamped, paid in full, all paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins. Yes. Our identity, you belong to Jesus. The 10 this morning, you belong to the Father. He adopted you before eternity passed. Yes, before the world was created, his love was upon you. Yes, the Holy Spirit has come. If you are one who is his disciple, he has sealed you with his Holy Spirit. It's real. You have a new identity. It's no longer what race you are, or what somehow or another, what nationality you might be, or what your size would be, big or small, or how good looking you might be, or not so good looking. It's not even to do with somehow or another you're from the USA. Yes. No. It's not even your own family name. You belong to God. To be putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized into his name is to belong to him. You have written upon you his name. You are his. We have, through the years, asked different ones who have been baptized to at least work at memorizing the great old Heidelberg Catechism first question. We've had it for many years there in the narthex that people could read it as they come in. Let me give that to you. It's there in your, with the testimonies of those who are being baptized today. And it's with that word, that question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and redeemed me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, that all things must work together for my salvation. Wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. 10 disciples, that's something of great comfort. You're in his hands. That hymn, I don't remember it all, but it's something of the nature of, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Can you say that? Say that. Now I belong to Jesus. To whom do you belong? Now I belong to Jesus. There is a great, wonderful thing, paid in full, comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. One more quick question. What does your baptism mean for your life? What difference will it make, this moment, this great event of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, publicly. I must say to you, it's a wonderful door that opens as opportunity of privileges. The Lord's Supper, to participate in that. The fellowship with God's people, yes, to enter into the fullness of that fellowship with all the people of God, the privileges of that. It's something like a wedding. Before that wedding, all the couple, they loved one another. They were committed to each other. There was all that was involved there. But until they come to that wonderful moment of a wedding and the marriage takes place, now all the privileges, all the joys, they're all there. Some would say, through the years, I've been a terrible salesman of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to talk of sales, because I believe we speak of the great privileges. This door is open to you. But there will be trials, temptations, entanglements in the web of Satan, the evil one. When you stand up for Christ, the evil one will work in your heart and cause you to somehow or another begin to compare yourself with others. You'll go through all kinds of difficulties and trials. It'll be difficult to say that it's all just nice privileges and peaches and what? Cream would be a lie. The reality is all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Young people, 10 of you, there will be attacks on your life. And yet, I believe there's a second element that's opened here, a door that's opened to boldness. Boldness. We read in the reflection this morning from Charles Spurgeon. He speaks of his baptism and how it was like crossing the Rubicon, burning the boats. There was no going back to the world. Something had changed. He could no longer think of turning back again. And I believe there needs to be, with this moment, a time of boldness in your life. You're not going to turn back. You can't turn back. The boats are burned. There's no going back. There is this sense of which you say, as those young people in Babylon of old, yes, even if the Lord doesn't rescue us from the fire, we will not serve your gods. No surrender. We are going to stand true for Jesus Christ and be bold for him. I do remember, though it's a long time ago, when I was baptized and I'd been on the baseball team at North High. I'd been on the basketball team. I came back my junior year and suddenly I brought a Bible with me. There was something had taken place in my life that I could not leave it at home. I brought it to school. And suddenly there really was a shunning, not feeling welcome, a pushing back. You know, it really didn't matter. I remember I began to eat outside under the grass or under the trees on the grass. There was, at North High at that time, only 4 or 5 black students. And I would eat with them out there under the grass, and we would read from the scriptures and talk. You know what? It doesn't matter. We have been given a privilege to stand with Christ. And no matter what comes into our lives, to remember that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it matter? If you belong to him, it makes everything else changed. The sun may not shine, the suns may not win, but yes, in Christ we are more than conquerors, no matter what takes place. It really does change everything. It really does change everything if we are identified with him and he's identified with us and we belong to him. I say to you, stand up for Jesus. Stand up in his righteousness, not your own. stand in him, all 10 of you, and see how God will multiply blessings 10 times 10 times 10. That's 1,000, and who knows how much more. Oh, that God would show us all afresh, baptized into the name, immersed into the Father and into the Son and into the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we do pray for these 10 disciples. Oh, Lord, that you would touch their hearts even this day as you would touch our hearts. We think of the temptations, the trials, the entanglements into the web of Satan's workings. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would keep them by your almighty power. Preserve them in Jesus, as you have already done. We thank you, Lord, that you preserve them in the Lord Jesus Christ, even when their feet made haste to go to hell. In your grace, you save them. And we pray, Lord, you would make this even a time of your very powerful presence as we hear their testimonies, as we see them publicly identify with you as the Lord of glory. And then we give you thanks once again of that promise that you have promised to be with us always. We ask now, Lord, for that special presence of the Lord Jesus Christ during this baptism. In his name we pray. Amen.